searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Oh, I think that's the motto of Washington, D.C. It's not a lie if you believe it. Hello and welcome to the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host here, driving the big crazy bus through the insanity that is life in the United States of America and around the world today. Hopefully, we're just going to have a little fun during this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. It is the Friday edition of the program, which means we're diving into a weekend, which means I'm probably going to encourage you to unplug at some point. I've just gotten into this habit. You need to unplug a bit. Life is crazy. You need to step away from the crazy from time to time in order to keep from going, well, crazy. That's kind of what it works out to. And if you don't, well, and you go crazy, then odds are you'll become a Democrat. It is, it's cold here. I mentioned something about weather turning yesterday, and in like a 24-hour period, it went from 72 to the upper 30s. It got down into the 30s last night. In some places nearby, it got into the upper 20s, and it's just kind of weird. We, at our house, we actually put logs in the fireplace and had a fire last night. And it was quite nice. But it's just kind of strange that one day it's a comfy 72. The next day it's, oh my word, where did this cold come from? But no snow yet. Now, I have to say that someplace, it was somewhere in extreme northwest Alabama, they did see a little bit of snow, a little flurry activity. And of course, the Piggly Wiggly was immediately bombarded with requests for milk and bread. But that's the way things are here. So how you doing today? You doing all right? I hope you're fine. Hope all is well with you, that life in your little corner of the world is just marvelous, wherever your corner of the world may be, from California to Hawaii to Texas to places in the Midwest to the East Coast to Florida and other places around the world, the UK and further off. It's good to have you listening. Thank you so much for being there. It is a day to wrap things up, and there's a lot to talk about today. And I'll be honest with you, there are things I want to get to. I know I'm not going to have time to get to. MSNBC. MSNBC talking about the wildfires in California has just declared it's all climate change and nothing else. Hopefully we'll get to that, because that's just absolutely ludicrous. An official from the NSC has told the impeachment probe that nothing illegal was discussed in the Trump phone call. In fact, it wasn't originated by him. Hopefully, we'll get around to that. Let's see, what else is there? Hopefully, we can look at those two Democrats who voted no on the impeachment inquiry resolution. And if you think about this, Nancy Pelosi, at the very beginning of all this, said that it was going to be a bipartisan effort. Remember? It would be a bipartisan effort, a bipartisan move to impeach the president. Well, yeah, it was a bipartisan move to vote against it, because two Democrats joined sides with the Republicans and voted against it. And maybe we'll look at that. Let's see. We'll look at the impeachment resolution, how it passed. And let's start off with a couple of crazy things. Okay, first up, you didn't know it, but early yesterday morning, on Halloween, an asteroid came closer to Earth than any known near-Earth objects on NASA's radar. It passed the Earth at an altitude of just 3,852 miles. Now, that sounds like a long way away, but our communications satellites are much farther away from us than that. So this asteroid passed between the communications satellites that we use all the time. They're relaying telephone, they're relaying television, they're relaying all kinds of stuff back and forth from place to place on the planet all the time, constantly, 24/7, 365. An asteroid passed between those and the face of the planet. It was an asteroid known as C0PPEV1, and it happened in the early hours of yesterday morning. It was first discovered by the Catalina Sky Survey, which is based in Arizona, before several other observatories picked it up. The asteroid passed above southern Africa at an altitude of 3,852 miles at closest approach. That was at 7:45 a.m. Pacific, or a little over the distance between London and New York. That should give you your perspective. The trip across the Atlantic from London to New York, that's how close it was to us. The telecom satellites are 22,236 miles out. The International Space Station orbits at an altitude of 250 miles. The asteroid safely passed us at a speed of nearly 27,000 miles per hour. And you didn't know about it, probably, until right now. That is a little bit spooky, talking about Halloween. That was spooky. Just when you think about the things that could have happened, they didn't catch it, they didn't see it, they didn't know it was happening until it was right on top of us. Wow. Yeah, wow. Okay, moving on to something else crazy. Elizabeth Warren's healthcare plan cost has been announced. Yeah, I know this is getting into the political stuff, but I want to talk about this just for a sec here, okay? I'm not going to get into a story, no references here, just a quick fact or two. The cost, $52 trillion over 10 years. $52 trillion just for the plan, just for the healthcare plan. That's $5.2 trillion on average per year over 10 years, $52 trillion. Care to take a stab at what the United States income tax returns produce each year? All the income taxes collected from all the people in the United States of America in a single year, roughly $4 trillion. $4 trillion just for what we're doing right now. And that doesn't cover it because we're in debt, deeply over $20 trillion in debt. And she wants to add $52 trillion on top of that. Another $5.2 trillion per year on top of the current income tax burden we have. And she says there will not be a middle class tax increase to pay for the plan. Yes, she is lying, because there is no way to do what she says she wants to do without increasing taxes across the board. It has to happen. There's no way to pay for it. Also, there's a story we won't get to. This coming from Independent Justice, LJR. Or IJR.com, where she, in an interview with a liberal media company, admitted that massive job losses will be part of the cost of her Medicare for All program, to the tune of 2 to 3 million jobs will end up ending because of the way things will have to be restructured. I've told you before that the middle class for the progressive movement is an inconvenience. You and I, we're an inconvenience. We're self-sustaining. We stand on our own 2 feet. We fight for our income, and we fight to keep as much of it as possible. And we're independent. We're not dependent on the government. We're not dependent on others. We stand on our own. And for a movement which depends on victims so they can be the hero and control everything, we're a problem. So eliminating 2 million jobs, those 2 million jobs will be carved right out of the middle class. And 2 million people will be in need and need the government for assistance and help. That's part of the plan. Now, I realize that 2 million is not a big slice out of 326 million. I think that's the current population of the United States. But that still is 2 million more people who need the help of the government, because the government shot them in the foot. And that's how these people operate. The progressives victimize people who will not be victims on their own, because victims are necessary for the survival of progressivism. And that's just the way it is. $52 trillion over 10 years. 2 million people losing their jobs. It's a fairy tale. It's a fantasy. That's all it is. It's just a way, to be absolutely honest with you, it's just one more method for redistributing wealth. We're taking as much as possible from those who have and spreading it around. And in progressive governments around the world, how that always works out is that the people taking the money for redistribution all live very well, and the people receiving the money stand in line to get their groceries. That's how it happens everywhere they implement what they want and where they stick to it. The people always suffer. And that is the great equality of progressivism, socialism, is that everybody suffers equally. And that will be the outcome of Elizabeth Warren's health care plan. People on Wall Street, people in business, corporations have all raised concerns about Elizabeth Warren, because if she succeeds, she won't, but if she succeeds, she will do more harm to this country than you can imagine. I said this the other day, I think it was yesterday, might have been the day before, but if the Democrat Party regains control of the Senate, keeps the House of Representatives, and also gains the White House, the United States of America, as you know it, will come to an end. Because they will ignore you. They will ignore me. They will ignore rational, right-thinking, reasonable, conservative people. Because as far as the progressives are concerned, they know better than anyone else how things are supposed to work. They will ignore us. It doesn't matter if we all drop work one day and go to Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C., Virginia, and all the surrounding areas are flooded with conscientious conservative people who walked off their jobs to protest the government. It won't matter to them. In fact, they would probably call out the National Guard, because that's how the progressive socialist mind works. As I've told you again and again and again, I'm the broken record here. Progressives passionately, firmly believe that they are intellectually and morally superior to everyone who is not a member of their group. So, as far as they're concerned, you're an idiot, and you need them to keep you from hurting yourself by making bad decisions. So they're going to make all the decisions and ignore you. If they gain control again, and you can see they're passionately focused on doing so, otherwise they wouldn't be doing what they're doing in Washington, D.C. right now, trying to remove a president elected by the American people, trying to reverse the decision made by the people. they think they know better and that we made a mistake. And this is how they operate. So, if Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, if any of them are elected president, and the Senate goes to the Democrats, the United States of America will begin a downward spiral that will end in it becoming nothing more than a very large third world nation. Because that's how progressives think. They're the smart guys. They're the smartest ones in the room. Or as Barack Hussein Obama said, they are the people they've been waiting for. God help us all if that happens. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. The day after Halloween, the first day of November 2019. Diving into a weekend with some chilly temperatures here in the heart of the Southland. It is an interesting news day with the things that happened yesterday. Let's dive right back into it, okay? The House voted to pass a resolution confirming the impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump and outlining the rules that will govern the House Intelligence Committee's fact-finding process, even though that process has already begun. Truthfully, what they've done is they've just rubber-stamped off everything they're already doing, and they know they can. They just came out in public and said, okay, well, you know, this is what we're doing, and we're voting to say it's okay to do it. And it doesn't matter what the Republicans say because we outnumber them anyway, so thanks. Hey, thanks for coming up. You've been a great crowd. Tip your waiter. And that's really kind of how it worked yesterday. There was a vote that passed on nearly a strict party line. 232 to 196, all but two Democrats. Those are Representatives Colin Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, and Democrat from New Jersey, Jeff Van Drew. They voted against passing the resolution. And the reason is that they're in their districts could flip Republican. They're trying to keep their jobs is what they're doing. So they actually, because it meant their jobs, they sided with the people. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because they realize they're going to lose their ticket to the gravy train if they go against the grain with their people. Instead of actually representing the people like they should always. Come on. They broke with the mob because they understood it was going to be dangerous for their income if they didn't. Also, Representative, the independent from independent Justin Amash, the anti-Trumper. He voted to pass. Let's see. Wait a minute. President of the House is lone independent. He voted to pass the resolution. He's an anti-Trumper. Of course, he was going to pass the resolution. Well, Fox News is reporting Republicans and Democrats engaged in a fiery floor debate ahead of the vote, with legislators from both sides lobbing pointed barbs. Republicans had by far the more significant complaints, charging that the Democrats were engaging in a witch hunt on Halloween, that they were launching a coup against the president, and that the impeachment inquiry itself was preordained, and that Democratic legislators were just looking for an excuse to start the process. Arizona Republican Representative Debbie Lesko took the fight to Twitter, calling the impeachment inquiry a sham, and pointing out that the resolution that Democrats seem so eager to label a mere codification of previously agreed-up standards keeps the public and Republican legislators in the dark. Quote, transcripts aren't required to be made public. Exculpatory evidence does not have to be turned over. In other words, they do all this behind closed doors, and they're keeping you out of the picture, and they're keeping the Republicans out of it as much as they possibly can. And those who are exposed and see what's going on are essentially given a gag order and can't talk about it. This is a very communist way to do things. The resolution also famously puts Representative Adam Schiff, the Democrat from California, in charge of the full inquiry and gives him the power to order subpoenas and compel testimony. Republicans are allowed to issue their own subpoenas and present their own testimony, but any rebuttal witnesses or witnesses presented in defense of the president must be approved by Schiff, the operating chair of the investigation. So, if the Republicans have someone who can rebut what has been done, what has been said by Democrats in this process, Adam Schiff can deny them using those people. He can actually do that. That's how the rules are written. The resolution calls for an open hearing or hearings where the president's allies can present their case in defense of Trump, but only after Democrats have presented their case. All witness requests must be submitted to Chairman Schiff for approval. To allow for a full evaluation of minority witness requests, the ranking minority member may submit to the chair, in writing, any requests for witness testimony relevant to the investigation described in the first section of this resolution within 72 hours after notice is given. Schiff, of course, is already under scrutiny by the GOP for statements he made at the opening of the congressional impeachment inquiry, recounting what he now admits was an imagined conversation between the president and Ukrainian government officials, with the president demanding an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden's possible exercise of influence in the country in return for cutting a foreign aid check. You know, he actually did that parody thing at the opening of an extremely serious, sober investigation. I mean, regardless of who's doing it, regardless of their intent, it is an extremely serious thing. And he opens it with what he calls a parody or an imagined conversation. This is literally one of those situations where it should be just the facts and nothing but the facts. And you can see how seriously they're taking it. Oh, speaking of seriously, did you see the pictures of the Democrat idiot who showed up dressed as Batwoman for this vote? She walked around our nation's capital in a Halloween costume yesterday. A member of the House of Representatives. Someone voted into office by the people, dressed as Batgirl on Halloween. This should show you the mentality of some of the people we're dealing with. They just don't give a rip because they're in power. The White House later released a transcript of the call between Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, which did not show any quid pro quo arrangement. Republicans charged that such a measure, requiring them to run their full case by Schiff in order to present basic evidence, violates the president's due process rights. Democrats insist that the rules outlined in the resolution are the same rules that applied during both Bill Clinton's and Richard Nixon's impeachment inquiries. This is what they say, but I have a feeling that there are many who would disagree and say that's not actually true. The White House cited those rules when responding to the vote. Quote, with today's vote, Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats have done nothing more than enshrine unacceptable violations of due process into House rules. That's what White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham told reporters. So far, Democrats have conducted the impeachment inquiry mostly in private, behind closed doors, and occasionally in a SCIF, a specially created classified information zone within the Capitol. The resolution sets the stage for Democrats to bring the hearings out into the open, something that will no doubt provide some measure of relief to Republicans who say they've been cut out of the process so far. Yeah, that may be true, but still, the way things are set up, the way the rules are set up, the Democrats have basically hogtied the Republicans and gagged them. So they have to get permission for everything from Adam Schiff. And we already know that in these closed door sessions, he has been shutting down questioning by Republicans, not allowing them to ask certain questions of witnesses, not allowing them to ask questions of witnesses, throwing due process completely out the window. It's just not there. And this is not how our country runs. It's just not the way our country runs. It is It is un-American. It's unconstitutional. It's a power grab. And if I may quote the President of the United States, it's a witch hunt. That really is what it is. Sadly, you and I are watching one of the most embarrassing moments in American history pass before us. We're watching the Democrat Party abuse its power. We're watching the Democrat Party behave the way that conservatives have understood leftists to behave for many, many years. They no longer pretend to be anything other than what they actually are. Power-hungry politicians. And this is nothing more than an effort to convince the American people that their government knows better than they do how to run a country. And again, they're ignoring the fact that our nation is set up so that you and I are the government, and that you and I send people to represent our interests and our opinions at the national level, and the state level, and the local level. We have people representing our interests. And when they don't represent our interests, they don't represent the nation. And the Democrats want to convince the American public that they know best how to run this nation, regardless of the fact that most of us think otherwise. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here. Hoping you're having a great Friday. Diving into a great weekend. And that you're not hungover from Halloween candy. Jane's going to be out of town for the weekend. She's going to help out our niece, who's been undergoing chemotherapy and the like, and she's got three kids, and so she and her sister are going up for the weekend to help out and be there during chemotherapy and the like. And so last night, we, instead of our usual Friday night fajitas, it was Thursday night fajitas, and we made a couple of little stops on the way back. And at one of the stops, she picked up some Halloween candy just in case we have any trick-or-treaters come by. And where we live, aside from the fact that it had been raining, and now it was very, very much colder than it had been, we're not in a traditional kind of neighborhood. We're out in the outskirts, and so we haven't seen trick-or-treaters in I don't know how many years. It's been a long time since we've seen trick-or-treaters on our street. It just doesn't happen. So we got a whole bag of Starburst upstairs I got to wade my way through this weekend. That's just all there is to it. That's what she bought. She just bought a bag of Starbursts. And I'm like, really? I like Starburst. That's okay. So I'll be in a Starburst coma later on. Okay, back to the news. I mentioned these two Democrats who broke from the party. CNN Politics is telling us that Representatives Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey and Colin Peterson of Minnesota both voted nay on the historic resolution. They also voted against going forward with resolutions during the preliminary procedural vote. The resolution, though, passed on a vote of 232 to 196. Their votes are no surprise. Both were initially part of a group of Democrats who have not made public statements in support of starting an impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump, or have only posited conditional support for it. They also represent districts where Trump won in 2016. This is what I was talking about earlier. These guys, their districts, Trump won their districts. So they're looking at the handwriting on the wall and they realize, I better not be behind this or I'm out. No Republicans supported the resolution. Representative Justin Amash of Michigan, who is an independent and left the Republican Party earlier this year, voted in favor. Van Drew said he believes the inquiry will further divide the country without bipartisan support. Quote, without bipartisan support, I believe this inquiry will further divide the country, tearing it apart at the seams, and will ultimately fail in the Senate. However, now that the vote has taken place and we are moving forward, I will be making a judgment call based on all the evidence presented by these investigations. My hope is that we are still able to get some work done to help the American people, like infrastructure, veterans benefits, environmental protections, immigration reform, reducing prescription drug costs, and the strengthening of Social Security. In other words, the business they should be doing instead of what they're doing now, which is nothing more than a raw play for power. Peterson called the House vote on the resolution unnecessary, said he will not make a decision on impeachment until all the facts have been presented. He says, this impeachment process continues to be hopelessly partisan. I've been hearing from my constituents on both sides of this matter for months, and the escalation of calls this past week just shows me how divided our country really is right now. I have some serious concerns with the way the closed-door depositions were run, and I'm skeptical that we will have a process that is open, transparent, and fair. Without support from Senate Republicans, going down this path is a mistake. Today's vote is both unnecessary and widely misrepresented in the media, and by Republicans, as a vote on impeachment. The resolution outlines the procedural details on how the House will move forward with its inquiry. As I said earlier, basically it was a formality. It just gave the official okie-dokie to what they've already been doing. Now, what this guy says, Peterson, he says he's skeptical that we'll have a process that's open, transparent, and fair. I think he's dead on. I think he is absolutely right. I don't think we will have a process that's open, transparent, and fair. We'll just continue to have the same process we've already had under the same direction that's already there. I don't expect much to change. Because, as I said already, the Democrats want control and they want power. And as they always do, they ignore the Republicans and don't let them have involvement whenever Democrats are in power. On Tuesday, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Representative Adam Schiff's super secret committee, you know, the behind closed doors stuff that's been going on, heard testimony from the Democrats' latest star witness, Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. But if Vindman's opening statement is any indication, the impeachment narrative pushed by Schiff, the Democratic Party, and the establishment media took a brutal shellacking. Another brutal shellacking. Vindman, a career Army officer, Purple Heart recipient, and the National Security Council's top Ukraine expert, appeared before Schiff's kangaroo court, which included lawmakers on the House Foreign Affairs and Oversight and Reform Committees as well, to discuss his concerns regarding President Donald Trump's July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Without a hint of irony, the New York Times reported Monday, ahead of his testimony, that Vindman, quote, will be the first White House official to testify who listened in on the July 25th telephone call. So this guy actually was there and actually did hear what happened, unlike the whistleblower. It should strike anyone as bizarre that it has taken over a month since the entire Trump-Ukraine scandal began for Schiff and company to finally get someone in the room who was actually on the call. The intelligence community whistleblower who sparked the entire controversy was not on the call. He just heard grousing from people who were. Also, what the whistleblower reported was incorrect, and he or she submitted it, well, we know it's a he by now, around the time that the intelligence community whistleblower form was reportedly updated to, wait for it, allow submissions like theirs. The whistleblower's earliest memo regarding the call also relayed at least 7 lies or pieces of misinformation that did not at all correspond with the call transcript Trump shrewdly released. Then there were assorted other witnesses, including former and now acting U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor. Taylor imploded on the stand in Schiff's super-secret skiff by confirming he could only offer hearsay and that Zelensky's people didn't even know of the much ballyhooed suspension of U.S. military aid to Ukraine until after the much ballyhooed July 25 call between Trump and Zelensky. Now we come to Vindman, whose testimony anti-Trumpers everywhere were certain would prove Trump tried to execute a quid pro quo scenario with Zelensky. Vindman, however, not only bombed in terms of helpfulness to the Democrats, but he also revealed 4 pieces of information, one of them extremely important, and effectively pulled a Tanya Harding on the quid pro quo narrative's knees. First, Vindman appears to have at least attempted to mislead the committee, claiming on page 5 of his pre-written opening statement that he did not think it was proper for Trump to demand that a foreign government investigate a U.S. citizen. The only problem with that comment is that it's predicated on a complete lie. Trump didn't demand anything during the call. Remember, it was Zelensky who urged Trump to send Rudy Giuliani to Ukraine, and it was Zelensky who offered to investigate. Quote, "We are hoping very much that Mr. Giuliani will be able to travel to Ukraine, and we will meet once he comes to Ukraine." He said that during the call, and added, "I guarantee, as the president of Ukraine, that all the investigations will be done openly and candidly." Whether Vindman was actually trying to mislead, which seems foolish given the transcript, or genuinely doesn't recall the conversation he heard, which obviously presents other credibility problems, the net effect was not good for the Democrats. Second, Vindman took note of an earlier Trump-Zelensky call he sat on that took place on April 21st, 2019. During that call, Vindman claimed that Trump expressed his desire to work with President Zelensky and extended an invitation to visit the White House. That testimony undermines the idea that Zelensky's invitation to the White House was predicated on him launching investigations into the Bidens, Burisma Holdings, and CrowdStrike. Taylor helped undermine that Democratic chestnut when he confirmed the Ukrainians and the general public didn't know about the aid freeze until August, after the July 25 call between Trump and Zelensky. Now, Vindman's testimony makes the quid pro quo premise that much more unlikely by moving the date that the White House invitation was extended back to April 21st. If Trump invited Zelensky to the White House back in April with no strings attached, how could the White House visit been part of the alleged quid pro quo? Third, Vindman testified, quote, "I realized that if Ukraine pursued an investigation into the Bidens and Burisma, it would likely be interpreted as a partisan play, which would undoubtedly result in Ukraine losing the bipartisan support they've thus far maintained. This would all undermine U.S. national security. Following the call, I again reported my concerns to NSC's lead counsel. Considering that warning said differently, if Ukraine investigated the Bidens and Burisma, Democrats would revoke their support for the country, thereby undermining U.S. national security." While that's not exactly what Vindman said, it generally describes the gist of his comments. Think about it. It's not Republicans who would object to Ukraine investigating the Bidens' alleged wrongdoing. It's Democrats. It's not Republicans who would turn on Ukraine and destroy bipartisan support. It's Democrats. Vindman's testimony reveals a very real concern for the NSC, or in the NSC, or at least on his part, that Ukraine investigating alleged wrongdoing by a former U.S. president and current candidate for the presidency would cause Democrats to withdraw support for Ukraine and thus undermine U.S. national security. That the NSC has even to consider the possibility of such childish behavior shows exactly where national security ranks on the House Democrats' priorities list. Somewhere below protecting an allegedly corrupt presidential contender and above maybe cow flatulence? No, it's definitely below that too. Maybe a sex worker's bill of rights. Yep, Democrats' concerns for national security might rank above a sex worker's bill of rights, but definitely below cow flatulence and protecting Joe Biden. Listen, joking aside, If that doesn't give you serious pause about the priorities of the party controlling the House of Representatives, then your priorities are wrong. There's more. Grab your show notes today for the rest of it. But I think you see. The Democrats, everything they're claiming is falling apart in front of them. But you never hear about it from the mainstream press, do you? Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It is the Friday edition of the podcast, staring a weekend right in the eyes with no fear. Ready for a little relaxation, if that can happen on a weekend. Oh my, after all the rain and everything, the rain, the temperature drop. I don't know where you live, if this is the same for you, but there's a lot of leaves on the ground that have to be taken care of, so that's going to be part of the weekend for me. Let's get back to that CNN story we were talking about. Wait a minute. Let me go back. Where was it? No, it's not that one. It was from Western Journal. There was another point, and I wanted to get to that point before we leave. And it's point number four. Vindman dropped a line. During his testimony, anybody could be forgiven for glossing over, but it's also one that has some bombshell implications. He testified, quote, on July 21st, 2019, President Zelensky's party won parliamentary elections in a landslide victory. The NSC, this is the security people, proposed that President Trump call President Zelensky to congratulate him. Did you catch that? The NSC proposed that President Trump call President Zelensky to congratulate him. The phone call that this transcript is all about was not President Trump's idea. It was proposed by the NSC. It wasn't Vice President Mike Pence, wasn't Stephen Miller, Ivanka Trump, Mike Pompeo, or whichever White House boogeyman Trump stand-in is most hated by the establishment media. It was the National Security Council that proposed the call. That means the call likely wasn't even Trump's idea. It came from outside the Oval Office. The call was that was supposed to prove Trump's dirty. The call that was supposed to show corruption. The call that, when exposed to the light of day, was supposed to reveal Trump's evil machinations. The call was the NSC's idea, not Trump's. More interesting are the implications of the call being proposed by the NSC. The first implication is that Trump decided to use that NSC-proposed call to initiate a quid pro quo, knowing that NSC members would be listening. Well, that's unlikely. The second implication is that Trump demanded a quid pro quo on a phone call that he didn't even propose having. That's extremely unlikely. Vindman certainly inadvertently torpedoed the entire Trump-Zelensky quid pro quo narrative. No president would try to set up a quid pro quo call, a quid pro quo on a call monitored by the NSC. There couldn't have been a quid pro quo anyway, since Zelensky offered Trump everything he wanted before Trump could set up a quid pro quo. And Trump, as we have already covered, had already invited him months before to the White House. And regardless, Zelensky didn't know Trump was delaying Ukraine's military aid. That wasn't even out in the open. It wasn't on the table. There is a reason Schiff is holding his super secret triple committee hearings in the super secret SCIF, and allowing Republicans absurdly limited access to the committee's super-secret documents. Schiff knew launching any credible impeachment effort would be like threading a needle, so he moved his work into the dark, where he could manipulate information released to the public. The only problem is that Democrats went all in on the whistleblower quid pro quo narrative, and it turns out there was less than nothing there. The result is, Schiff keeps calling witnesses he hopes will bolster the Democrats' narrative, but their testimony ends up being so bad that they only add more pressure to the already buckling narrative. Whether Schiff manages to salvage some usable but tattered narrative from the super-secret skiff remains to be seen. Barring that, however, Schiff's super-secret efforts may go down as the super-obvious reason Democrat impeachment efforts end up as a super-failure. That and the fact that, as far as anyone can tell, Trump has done absolutely nothing worthy of removal from office. So all of this bluster, all of this about this phone call, and Trump violating the Constitution, doing something worthy of impeachment, is extremely unlikely at best, because the phone call wasn't even his idea. It was initiated by the National Security Council, monitored by the National Security Council. And Trump, with his record in business, knowing that every word is being monitored, being the guy he is and the negotiator he is and the successful businessman that he is, he's not going to do something so stupid as to play into the hands of the Democrats. So they're hanging all of their hopes on something that is completely hopeless. And this is also a good illustration of why it is so, so important for us, for you and I, to get our news from places other than the mainstream. Because this story from Western Journal, westernjournal.com, reveals things that you are never, ever going to hear from the Alphabet Networks or from CNN, MSNBC, and probably even Fox News. You're just not going to hear the story from those sources. This information can only be found by going outside the mainstream. This is why we have to do this. Because if you don't know that this phone call was initiated by the National Security Council, if you don't know that it was monitored by the NSC, if you don't know there were several people listening to the call and typing up every word that was said, if you don't know there were advisors around, and you think the president just off the cuff said, hey, let me call this guy and congratulate him, and then makes a proposal that's not proper, if you think that can happen, then you need to be seeking some more information. But this is what the left wants. They want you ignorant. They want you blind to what's really happening. They want you to be uninformed, because they want to tell you what to think. This is their pattern. It's been going on for a while. They're doing it in our schools. They're teaching people what to think, not how to think. They're doing it on the news. They're telling people what to think, not how to think. They're doing it in their political campaigns, telling people what to think, not how to think. Because if you actually learn to think on your own, you'll wake up and realize they're lying to you. And when you wake up and realize they're lying to you, and when I say they, I mean the politicians and the mainstream news media, they're lying to you, then they can't control you anymore. And if they can't control you anymore, they've lost their power. They've lost their control, and they won't let that happen. They will fight hard to keep that from happening. And that's what is going on right now. This is why their effort has dialed up to a fever pitch. This is why everything is coming from the left is so shrill now. This is why they're so frantic. This is why they've gone off the deep end. If you, like me, like I, have thought, wow, has the world gone nuts? If you're thinking that, it's because it has. Because the news media and the politicians, the progressives, have crossed the line. They're no longer playing it safe and trying to appear to be rational and reasonable. They're revealing themselves for what and who they actually are. And as I've said before, I think that's part of the plan. I think that is part of the chess game that Donald Trump is playing. He wants you to see how crazy these people are. He wants you to see how vile these people really are. He wants you to understand what they've been up to in Washington, D.C. for decades. And that they've been cheating you and me all this time. Hey, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. God bless you. Bye-bye.
We'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?